Good morning, everyone. Welcome everyone that's joining us in person and also online on Zoom. It's a pleasure to be with our Frederick Church family, our forever family this morning, bonded together in our belief of Jesus Christ and what he's doing in our lives and in the world. It's awesome to be here this morning. We had an awesome Sunday school class this morning led by Mark. It was powerful. It was powerful. One of the things, a question that popped in my mind because of that, and I pose this to everyone, is what's the difference between belief and faith? What's the difference between belief and faith? We can have a belief in God. We can have a conviction of a thought that he exists, but our faith is what we do with that. Our faith is how we live out our lives. And with that belief in mind, with that conviction that God exists, now, how are you living your life? And we're all here today with the belief in God, by faith, joining together as the body, that God's going to do a work in and through each one of us, a saving work in and through each one of us for his eternal glory, for our eternal joy. Amen. I just want to say that we have prayer cards if you're in person in the pew in front of you. We're a praying, loving church. Please feel free. We want you to fill these out. We want to be praying for you. We all are in need of prayer. It's a show of our dependence on God when we bring our needs to him. So I want to encourage you to fill these out. If it's private, you can mark it as such. You can also, if you're joining us online, email at office@fcoc.org, or if it's private, shepherds@fcoc.org. So our scripture for this morning is going to be in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to be turning there. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 16. So this morning, I don't know if I've got the morning off or you've got the morning off, because you don't have to hear me for a half hour later. Maybe it's both. But we've got Bert Newcomer that'll be bringing the word this morning, and I'm excited. I'm very excited to hear what the Holy Spirit's put on his heart for our church family here this morning about the Holy Spirit. There's three things I know about Bert, maybe more. He's already left. Bert loves Jesus Christ. There's no doubt in my mind and any of your minds, Bert's love for God. He loves Jesus. That's just first and foremost. From the first time I met him a little over 3 years ago, Bert loves Jesus. The second thing is Bert unconditionally, and I really mean unconditionally, loves people. I mean, there is no doubt Bert has an unconditional love for people, and it's absolutely amazing. The third thing I know about Bert is that he is in the top three greatest mustaches of all time. There is no doubt. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. Top three greatest of all time. All God's people said, amen. Okay, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Would you read God's word with me, please? So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Will you pray with me, church? Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you so much for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that the words that we will hear today, guided by your Holy Spirit, will take a root in our heart and bear the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Not just for our joy and for your glory, but so that your marvelous light, Lord, can shine through each one of us, can shine through this church, so that others would come to know the powerful, powerful measure of what faith in Jesus Christ can lead to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everyone. I think I'm just going to go ahead and keep talking about the mustache. I want to do a shout out to Amanda. Couldn't be here, but she's watching on Zoom. And, I was a little surprised when I came in and saw Tony here. What's Tony doing here? Why am I preaching? So it started some thinking, and I'm like, well, God wanted me to do this, so that's why I'm here. When David asked me, I was like, oh my. Yeah, you know, I don't mind doing this, but it's not like, oh, I can't wait to preach. So I was thinking, I was like, well, can't commit right away. Better check with Deb. We might have something to do that gives me a good reason not to. And then there was no good reason. So I said, okay, all right, I'll do this. And I decided to do it on the Spirit. And believe me, I'm relying totally on him right now. But I just don't mind doing this. I really appreciate Tony and the role he's taken on with the church here. And I think it's going to be a great, great thing for us. Also, I want to shout out to Bob Ridings. He's a man after God's own heart. And through prison ministry with him together. And, you know, he usually preached, but there was times that I did. And, you know, it was a lot easier then because I have a captive audience there. It's not. So, you know, it helped me to be able to, you know, to do this. Because again, you know, I don't like the limelight. I don't even like somebody thanking me for something I did. Just something I got to work through. But anyway, an objective of a sermon is to cause you to think about the subject, cause you to examine yourself. And hopefully it's a call to action. Hopefully it's something that provokes us to change something in our life that's could be changed. Okay. A question I have is just think about it. You don't have to answer, but who is your very best friend? And take Jesus out because, you know, he's all of our best friends, but, you know, our best friend, well, it actually should be the Spirit, because the Spirit is always there for us. You know, it's he is our very best friend. And I want to read the Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And it's what Tony read earlier, but I just want to read it again because I don't think we can hear God's word too much. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're all in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Okay, whether we reflect Christ, we either reflect Christ to others by the fruits of the Spirit, or we reflect the world by our sinful nature, living with what the flesh desires. And we're always being watched by somebody. You know, we think sometimes we do things that don't mean anything to anybody else, but, you know, people watch people and they, I don't want to say judge people, but they kind of understand what drives that person. Is it the Spirit or is it the sinful nature? So we just have to be on guard about that. Who is the Holy Spirit? And I, going through the internet, came across this, which is crosswalk.com. And it says, the Holy Spirit is a distinct person, unlike that of the human conscience. The Holy Spirit does not evolve within the individual. It is the same today as when we first received salvation. Spirit never changes and will be beyond our last day on earth. Moreover, the Holy Spirit cannot be conditioned or into subservience or acceptance of any situation contrary to its work ordained by God. We can't adjust the Holy Spirit to fit what we want. There are distinguishing factors between the human conscience and Holy Spirit. The conscience contemplates self-dependence and a reliance of genetic makeup, life experiences, and influences. That's what makes up our conscience. And a lot of times we find it difficult to determine the difference between the Spirit and our conscience. A lot of times we want to go with the side that we want suits our needs. The Holy Spirit, however, is a totally different entity, which is at constant battle with the flesh. Even though the Holy Spirit indwells a believer, it is a separate and distinct entity. Sometimes it's hard to determine who we are hearing from. We need to test. Satan likes to deceive us and tries to get us to justify our actions. Only a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And there are verses in the Bible that tell us to accept Christ as our Savior and be baptized. And, you know, that's, I believe that. But there's also places in the Bible that say just confess your faith in Jesus Christ. So that's something individually, I'm not going to get into that, that we need to determine what we want to do and how we want to do it to serve God. But let me warn you, a good and clear conscience is not going to get you to heaven. It's we can never be good enough on our own. And without the Spirit, you don't have any hope. And some of the fruits of the Spirit, just a little overview, and this is from Bob Ridings in his daily devotionals. And if you don't get those, I would suggest you do. They're good. Love. The Lord fills our hearts with agape love, which is the foundation of the Christian life. With hearts filled with love, all the other fruit becomes natural and desirable to us. However, to get our hearts filled with God's love, we have to live with hearts of love and tell others about Christ. Love takes focus off of ourselves and places it on God and others. Joy. Christians are filled with joy because they know heaven is their home. Joy from God never goes away. We just have to endure the world and what it has in store for us until God calls us home. Peace. Peace that transcends understanding only comes from God and continually feeds our soul. It is great to feel peace when we go through our days. And after telling someone about Christ, it grows even stronger. Patience. This is a great gift from God because patience is a great blessing and keeps us relaxed. Patience helps us to be still inside, no matter what is happening in the world. Christians should go through life relaxed with peace and patience. We are patient with people when driving, with God, and when we have to wait. Kindness. Christians should know kindness, should show kindness to everyone, no matter how they respond to us. It takes two to argue, and if we show kindness, there is no argument. Goodness. Scripture tells us to overcome evil by doing good. We seek to do good by helping others. Faithfulness. Christians should be there to do, should be their best to be dependable. When a Christian makes a promise, they do their best to keep it. How can people trust us if they cannot depend on us? Gentleness. Christians should be gentle with their words, but never compromise God's truth. Gentleness shows that people cannot take control of our emotions because our emotions are controlled by Christ. And self-control. This is very important fruit of the Spirit because Christians should show they are controlled by Christ and not by the world. It shows us, it shows we are closer to Christ than we are to the world. Who is the Holy Spirit? Should be our very best friend. Best friends do anything for the other. The Spirit is the same as Jesus. It's God within us. He leads us to be and live like Christ did. And the Spirit is our gateway to heaven. No one goes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And with the Spirit living in us, the Spirit is the Trinity. It is the same as God. So he intercedes for us. He takes our thoughts, cleans them up so that we can talk to God, so that we can be presented before God as blameless and holy. God can't be around sin. It's just, it's totally opposite of his nature. So the only way we as sinful people can communicate with God is through the Holy Spirit. And it's a great blessing that, you know, we really need to focus on and use. He loves us like God, unconditionally and unending. He is a gift from God. He's our helper. His purpose is not to condemn us, but to show us and guide us how to live to be like Christ. And he's our direct line of communication with God, which I spoke of a little earlier. God's love doesn't depend on us being good, thank goodness. But when we follow the Spirit, we find God's favor. And I don't know how many people know what God's favor really is, but over the last several years, I've really come to see God's favor in my life. And you know, that's why, how could I say no to this? I wasn't that excited about it. But, you know, it's to have God's favor is great, and especially when you know it. Because when you see God's favor in your life, it makes you want to do more. It makes you want to not do things because you don't want to lose that favor. And it's absolutely amazing. I'm that I can testify to. Okay, do we hear the Spirit? We can hear the Spirit when we listen for him. You know, a lot of times we might hear him and not know who it is or, you know, what we're hearing and just keep on going with our lives. But his voice becomes louder and clearer the closer we become to God. We can have discussions with the Spirit. And, you know, I actually had discussions at times where, you know, talking with the Spirit, listening to his thoughts. I mean, I don't hear his voice. I hear him inside of me and have a discussion with him. And through that, through those discussions, things become clearer and the answer becomes crystal clear. So the Spirit is our helper. I've even had times during those discussions that the Spirit has put something in my mind that actually made me laugh, you know, like, wow, I never even thought about that. It was just like amazing. So, you know, he can be our very best friend and, you know, somebody that we can communicate with. And it's a great thing. It's a great blessing from God. Like any friendship, though, it takes communication between each other. And you know, just to anytime stop and talk to the Spirit. Ask the Spirit about anything. He's there all the time. Okay, what if I don't hear or possibly recognize the Spirit? Well, then we need to pray and ask God, and He'll show us the Spirit. You know, we have to, anytime we think we're going to try to rely on ourselves, we're wasting our time. You know, we can't do anything without God's guidance and doing things that please God. We could possibly be ignoring Him. You know, a lot of times I know if there's something we really want to do and we hear the Spirit saying, you know, well, that might not be the best. You know, we just act like we didn't hear it, you know, because we want to do what we want to do. And again, God doesn't save us for being good. He saves us for believing in Him and confessing Him. Okay, you may not want to hear what the Spirit's saying. We can pretend we didn't hear or ignore Him completely and give in to our fleshly desires. Okay, I want to read 1 John 4:1-3. Yeah, I don't do the things. I'm not technologically advanced enough to do slides and all of that. So going old school. Okay. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh from God, or in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. We need to be sure that the spirit that's pulling on our ear is from God and not Satan trying to deceive us, because that's his big thing. He tries to deceive us, distract us, discourage us, anything he can do to keep us from communicating with God. And that's, we have to recognize that and be on guard for that. If not, we will just be led around like puppies. Okay, we're also told not to blaspheme or grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we receive the Holy Spirit, that's God's promise to us that we will spend eternity in heaven. And with that knowledge and with that faith, it's to provoke us to live the way God wants us to live, to allow the Spirit to guide us and to live in heaven for eternity with Christ when this life is over. And believe me, this life flies by. The Holy Spirit is grieved by sin, especially sin of the tongue. James has a lot to say about the tongue. And in chapter 1:26, it says, if anyone considers himself religious yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and that religion is worthless. And, you know, I have had instances where I was going to say something, and the Spirit said, don't say that, and I didn't say it. And we need to have more of that in our lives. You know, if we get angry, we say stuff, we don't consider the Spirit or what the Spirit cares about what we're saying. But we have to protect what we say. The tongue is very dangerous. And in James 3:5-9, this isn't a sermon on the tongue, but it's some important stuff. It says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by such a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. It is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Okay, that's it on the tongue. Just think about that. Okay, blasphemy. Matthew 12. Starting in chapter 12, verse 31. And I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Now, you know, there are two questions. One, how do I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Well, it's discounting him, taking away the truth of who the Spirit is. But it's also in here because, if we do it, we're going to go to hell. You know, that's always scared me when I read that verse. I'm like, it's like you don't know where the trap is. But in my footnote, which brought a lot of comfort, is it says, blasphemy against the Spirit. Technically, according to the scribes, blasphemy involved direct and explicit abuse of the divine name. Jesus here teaches that it also may be the reviling of God by attributing the Spirit's work to Satan. The special circumstances involved in this blasphemy cannot be duplicated today. Therefore, this sin cannot now be committed. Jesus exhorted the Pharisees to turn and to be justified. So that footnote brought me a lot of relief. I didn't have to worry about doing something that's going to take everything away. And, you know, God's not like that. He's not here to condemn us. He's here to raise us up, to be like his Son, to live like his Son, to help others. You know, it's one thing, you know, we're a Christian and we're a good Christian. We do what God wants. But if we don't share it and people don't see that in us and say, what do you have? Why are you happy? What's the joy in you from? That's the big step, is for us to share with others, to bring others to an understanding of who Christ is and how they should live their lives. That's what it's all about. It's not only us serving and honoring and worshiping God, but it's us bringing others, because it's going to be a sad day when we've had opportunities and we didn't take them, and that person don't make it. So keep that in mind. You know, it goes back to Tony said, I have love for everyone. And I do. You know, I it's really something to look at a crowd of people and just say, I know I love every single one of them. I don't know them, but I love every single one of them. And I encourage you to grow to do that as well. Okay. How do we walk in the Spirit? We recognize our need of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I get a little hard to see. Okay. We have to have a desire. We have to want it. It's not, God just doesn't say, okay, you got the Holy Spirit. It's something that we have to want, something that if it's not a desire of ours, you know, nothing's important to us if we don't desire it, if we don't work for it. We have to be willing to repent of sin. And, you know, that's in itself, sometimes we don't see our sin, but we just have to know that when we sin, we go to God, we ask for forgiveness, and try not to do it again. You know, we're not forgiven only because we'll never do it again. We're forgiven because we did it. All those desires of the flesh, all of that is in us. Our nature, our human nature is sin. And desiring to change that, desiring the Holy Spirit, desiring to serve God, to worship God, to help others, that's who we should be. That's who people, when they see us, should recognize us as. We need to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit, saying, you know, not my will, but your will. And, you know, that's, you just don't say that, and it is, you know, it takes work. There's going to be times that, you know, we're not going to do what the Spirit wants. We're going to struggle, but it's a growing struggle. It's what brings us to know and have a better relationship with God and believe he will do what he promised. You know, if somebody's going to tell us something and it's not, we don't believe they're going to do it, you know, we don't have much faith in that. But the faith we need to believe is that God will do what he has promised all of us. And, you know, the eternal life thing, that's big. What do we receive from the Holy Spirit? We receive joy. You know, we receive peace in our lives. We receive the fruit, which is patience, kindness, goodness, all the good things that, you know, don't upset us, that make us whole inside. And it gives us a stronger faith, a faith to grow. We need to live in the Spirit, because when we do, we please God. You know, and that's what it's all about, pleasing God. You know, we too often try to please people. And, you know, it's not a bad thing, but, you know, our focus should be pleasing God. And when we do that, we will be serving people. All of that happens naturally. And the fruits that we get to enjoy, and who doesn't like that? We all benefit. But the greatest benefit is eternal life with God, to be through with all of the pain, sorrow, this world. You know, it's beautiful. The creation is unbelievable, unending, just seeing everything. You know, every day I see something that God created that I'm like, wow, what kind of imagination does he have? And it's just great, you know, to see, because it testifies to his power, and that, you know, there's nothing he can't do. But to be done with this world, you know, there's joys in it, but there's a lot of sorrows in it as well. And the world itself, not just in our personal lives, but just the world, look, our country is a mess. And it's getting worse because we're getting further and further away from God. We're taking God out of everything. And that's a pure recipe for a failure. And we're all feeling the results of that now. But there's hope. There's hope for all of us who trust God, who love God, and who love one another. And, you know, the goal is that this whole group's going to be in, we'll all be in heaven together one day. You know, again, time goes by so fast. And, you know, we get closer to the end of our life and we start realizing, you know, when we're young, we think, oh, I've got forever. You know, I don't have to worry about death, even though we do. But when we start getting older and it becomes more and more of a reality, it causes us to think. And hopefully that thought provokes us to serve God, to do what it takes to make sure we're in heaven with him for eternity. Because, you know, none of us have experienced total peace, total joy, anything close to heaven. And just as God created the world, and I see all of these different things, I know heaven's going to be just mind blowing. And, you know, to do the things here on earth now, it brings us the fruit, it brings us peace, it brings us joy, it gets us through this time in our lives to skip as much pain as possible, because there's so much pain in everyone's lives. And, you know, to be able to avoid all we can while serving God and pleasing him, that's really how we need to live. And I just hope that, you know, lunch will be on time today. But I'm just hoping that, you know, through this, that what we had talked about, the things that it's supposed to do, to cause us to think, to cause us to change something in our lives, to cause us to know the Spirit a little better. Hopefully that's what this lesson has done. I know it has encouraged me, because I did what God wanted me to do. And I got joy now because the anxiousness is gone because it's over now. But but I knew all the way. I talked to the Spirit all the way here. I said, come on. I did it because of you. You got to help me through this. And, you know, it's not, I'm not a professional preacher, but I love you guys. And I wanted to do what God wanted me to do because He's got a purpose for everything. And I just thank you for the opportunity. And as I've been coming to this church for 40 years now, and it's always, there's always been an invitation. And, you know, that's our lives should be an invitation to everyone. But if you haven't committed your life to Christ, if the Spirit that you don't know is the Spirit is tugging at you, listen to him. But the opportunity is always here. This, we have a baptismal pool, but the opportunity and is there for everyone. And we need to make sure everyone knows that whether they're sitting in church or whether we're sitting at a lunch table with somebody, wherever we are, we need to show Christ, and the Spirit will help us do that. Thank you for your time.